In the Peanuts cartoon strip, good old Charlie Brown says to Linus, "Life is just too much for me. I've been confused from the day I was born." I think the whole trouble is that we're thrown into life too fast. We're not really prepared. And Linus asks, "What did you want? A chance to warm up first?" Our gospel text for this morning focuses on a prophet handpicked by God who provides a spiritual checklist, a prophet whose call it is to prepare our hearts for the coming of God's Son. Let us pray. Gracious God, bless our Advent waiting. Fill our worship with anticipation of your love and dedicate us to prepare our way, to prepare your way, by lifting up the valleys of our lives and making smooth the rough places of others. We pray in your precious name. Amen. We know a great deal about John the Baptist. I've heard it said at NPC that he went to Wheaton College, that he got his MDiv from Princeton, where he got into a little trouble over the dress code. I know his parents were contacted because he was bringing honey and locusts to the cafeteria instead of using the meal plan they had purchased for him. And rather than preaching in the chapel, John was holding court on the outskirts of town. Well, maybe that's not exactly the information that comes up when you Google John the Baptist. However, we do know he was the beloved and only son of Zechariah the priest and Elizabeth, Mary's cousin. John was a PK, you know, a preacher's kid, which may explain a lot. He will turn many of the people of Israel to their God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him and turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This preacher, like most good preachers, leaves us on pins and needles, wiggling in our seats, so we better get ready to hear the truth. No holds barred, because he comes every Christmas before the eggnog, the mistletoe, and the carols. Maybe it was his appearance. Listen again to Mark's description. "Now John was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. John the Baptist dressed in the clothing of Elijah the prophet, not someone you might find on the cover of GQ. He lived in the wilderness around the Dead Sea. When he preached, it was fire and brimstone every time. A preacher's son gone extreme, as if on steroids." The 20th century provides numerous examples of prophets who, like John the Baptist, have made us uncomfortable. In India, it was Mahatma Gandhi. Through a method of nonviolent resistance, he led his people to throw off British imperialism and bring freedom to the subcontinent and its people. In the 1960s, using similar methods, our own Martin Luther King Jr. spoke of a dream he had for this country where people would not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. In the late 1970s, Archbishop Oscar Romero of El Salvador heard the cry of the poor in his land, and he acted to bring hope and justice to a society dominated by wealth and power. Nelson Mandela and Bishop Desmond Tutu in South Africa provided the light to lead their nation out of a dark night, a night of apartheid, to a new light of freedom for all. Since the late 1990s, it's been the outspoken voice of a Liberian woman, Lima Gwebe, who is raising the world's awareness of the rape and mistreatment of women in her country and many other countries. Billy Graham, who has often played the 20th century role of John the Baptizer, had these comments about the disease running rampant in our world. We're suffering from only one disease in this world. Our basic problem is not a race problem. Our basic problem is not a poverty problem. Our basic problem is not a war problem. Our problem is a heart problem. We need to get the heart changed, the heart transformed. Does John really have to be in the Christmas narrative? Yes. Because John is that kind of preacher. He was a heart specialist, one who shakes us up. We know before he's done, he's going to call us to task or ask us to do something we really know we need to do. But then that's precisely the point, isn't it? This is exactly the message John brought. We need to change our hearts. We need to prepare before we receive the gift of Christmas. The Messiah is coming. God is stepping into history to set things right. See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. More than any other human being who has ever walked the earth, John the Baptist lived with a sense of urgency, a fire in his belly that he could not dampen. So what difference does John make for you and me? His instructions to us are clear and direct. You prepare the way of the Lord. How do we do this? Mark offers some helpful hints and actually quotes two Old Testament passages. The first is from Malachi, and it talks about purifying the lazy and corrupt priesthood. You get the feeling that, like many a preacher's kid, John knows about what goes on behind the scenes. Some commentators say that that's the reason for his simple dress and his simple food. John, they believe, was bringing a message about the self-indulgence of the priesthood of his day. People flocked to the desert to hear him because they longed for a faith they could trust, just as you and I do. You prepare the way of the Lord, John said. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. John's second quote is from Isaiah. It's about the exiles coming home from captivity. When John speaks, this prophecy, in one sense, has already been filled. The exiles are home physically, but they have been for almost 400 years. But John's not talking about preparing a road from one place to another. He's talking about the highway of the heart. John's world, much like ours, was in desperate need of change. John the Baptizer tells us to prepare the way by pointing to Jesus. Behold, he said as he announced Jesus' arrival with the Agnus Dei, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John had the courage to challenge corruption wherever he met it, even when he knew it would mean his own death. You may remember Strauss's opera Salome, in which King Herod had seduced his brother's wife and taken her for himself. With outspoken courage, John publicly denounced the king and was eventually beheaded. One of the things I find unsettling about this opera is that John's head is carried around on stage for what seems to be a very long time. Why don't they put it away? Why does it have to be there as a constant reminder? There is much wrong in our society. We can all make a list. Broken homes, families, broken lives, violence and dishonesty, the lack of integrity in public life, the slow and steady slide of the church into adopting the ways of the world, the great divide between the haves and the have-nots. At Advent, we don't want to see the head of John the Baptist. We don't want to hear his warning. And we don't want to be reminded of what it is we are called to be. But we are talking about repentance. And it is far more than simply blurting out, "I'm sorry," when we get caught bullying others. Repentance is more than asking for a short sentence after cheating people out of their life savings. Maybe what we need is a baptism of repentance. We're so used to those words that it's hard for us to hear what they really mean. True repentance means a willingness to confront our sin. We all see it around us, but how many of us have the courage to speak up? Repentance means doing an about-face, turning around away from our selfish needs and our idols and turning to the Messiah. John tells us what we already know without the sugary glaze. You and I may not think we have anything to repent, but that's the ego talking. If you are still fighting with that family member this holiday, Christ calls you and tells you you are obligated to try and make it right. If you haven't given Christ control of your business life or your social life, John is preaching repentance to you too. John's the kind of guy who invades your personal space. When he tells you and me to repent, he doesn't just shake our hands on the way out of the door. He gets in the car, and he listens to our conversations on our way to brunch. He watches how we spend our time when we get home. During the week, he goes with us to that committee meeting. He hears our telephone calls, and he stands next to us at coffee hour. And there's a good reason to change. The Lord is coming. Prepare the way. John tells us, if you have two coats, give to someone who has none. If you have more food than you need, share with the hungry. Give an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. And if you have been ordained to serve the people of God, do it with your whole heart, without excuses. Prepare. The Lord will baptize us with the Holy Spirit. John knew he was only the messenger. He knew there was another who would come with power, one whose power was greater than his own. The truth is, the Lord does not come to people who are unprepared. Like Charlie Brown, we want a chance to warm up. I can't tell you what you need to do to change your life this Advent. I'm busy looking at my own list. But chances are you know. And that very thought is a spirit that's calling us to do what we need to do to prepare. I love the role of John the Baptist in the rock opera Godspell. John comes slowly walking down the center aisle, singing and calling his world to be washed clean of their inner hearts, calling the world to be washed clean so that the Messiah can enter. His message is like a laser beam of clarity pointing to the good news of Jesus Christ. God wants us to be prepared. He wants our hearts to receive the fullness of his grace. He wants us to receive the blessings of the Holy Spirit. So what difference does John the Baptist make in our lives? As we come to this Advent communion table, John reminds us that our old ways of living just don't cut it. It's time to clear out. It's time to cast off. It's time to clean up and cut back as we prepare a place in our hearts for the Christ child. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. 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 Amen.